For those of you who don't know, my name is Marcy Lissman, and actually my full name is Marcella, but only my mom calls me that, so it's still Marcy here. I was born October 28, 1969. I have two brothers and two sisters, two younger, two older. My mom and dad were Catholic and still are. So when I was born, of course, I was to be baptized Catholic. But my godfather was in the military, and so we had to wait a whole month before I got baptized. And being Catholic, you were baptized like the week after you were born, so it wasn't the norm to be wait a whole month after you got baptized, but it all worked out okay. When I was about 9 years old, we lived in Wichita, and we lived kind of in the city, but on the edge of the block was a wheat field, and it was a dirt road on the edge there, and we always liked to go over there, my brothers and sisters. We always played in the dirt, and my little brother, he was 7 at the time, he crossed that dirt road, and a motorcycle hit him head on, and it was very scary because we were all right there. He was in a coma for about 2 weeks. And that was the first time after it hadn't happened, because my mom's a nurse, and so she was at the hospital already. She was working. And so my dad had us, and he said, let's go home. And so we were all, you know, pretty young at the time still, and so we all went home with dad. It was like 3 or 4 blocks from the house. And we went to his bedroom, and dad got the rosary. We started praying, and most times it was mom. She was the one who would grab the rosary and pray, and it wasn't dad. And so we all kind of hovered around the bed, and we started praying the rosary, and then dad started crying, and my dad's a really big, tough military guy, so my dad did not cry, and he just started sobbing, and we just knew that, oh my God, he's not going to make it, and believe it or not, he did. He had a very serious brain injury, and he's since recovered, but he does have issues to this day, and I'll kind of get to those later, but after that, our family kind of went through the motions, and my little sister Mary was born, and our house wasn't big enough because she was kind of a oops. She's 12 years younger than my older sister, and so our house wasn't big enough, so we ended up moving to Wellington, and at this time, I was in a Catholic grade school, and there I had my first communion, my first confession, and confession, I never really did like confession. And I know, and I always said the same 3 things every time I went in there. So I had to make sure the same priest wasn't there. So I had to go to the other one because it was always the same thing. And of course, you always got the same penance or whatever. So I never really did like that. First communion, we had the really pretty dresses on and went through the motions there. And then I was in either 7th or 8th grade where I had my first confirmation. And I never really did understand what the Holy Spirit was and why this little flame was on top of your head and what all that signified. But I went through the motions. The bishop did our confirmation. At that time, we went to church in Hayesville. We lived in Wellington. We went to her church in Hayesville. We went to school in Clearwater, and I worked in Wellington. And so we were kind of like in the middle of everything. But when we went to a church in Hayesville, we'd have to go early because we had Sunday school before. So we'd have to go sometimes 2 hours early so my brothers and sisters could go, and then we could go, and then we'd go to Mass. Then during the week, we had CYO, and my first positive experience with Christ was I went to my first tech weekend, and that was Teens Encounter Christ. And it was a lot of other kids my age who were, I don't know if they were on the verge, some of them were, of being like, what's God all about and why am I here? Because that's kind of where I was. I'm like, these people are weird. But I went through the weekend and I met a guy named Tony. And after that weekend, we talked and wrote letters back and forth, but that's kind of where it ended. At this time, I was in my teen years. I was 16, working at Sonic, had my own life. In high school, I had lots of friends that, you know, hung around with. But at age 16, during the summertime, I worked at Sonic, and it was hot, and I lost about 100 pounds that summer. And my mom's a nurse, and it was early October. She said, "Do you feel okay?" I said, "I'm fine, Mom. I'm just really tired. I'm thirsty all the time." She goes, "Well, let's go to the doctor." I'm like, "No." So I went, and my blood sugar was over 800. And so immediately went to the hospital, and they did a test called an A1C, which they still do today. My A1C was a 21, and normally it's a 6. And so I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, learning how to give myself shots and how to eat. And that was very scary, because no one else I knew was diabetic and had to eat all this healthy stuff and couldn't just grab a cookie off the shelf or whatever. But I tried to deal with it. But when you're a teenager, you're going through all these other issues of just growing up and then having to battle with being different from your friends. I managed to get through. When I was 17, my dad worked for an x-ray company, and they fixed x-ray machines, and he traveled quite a bit in Kansas, all over Kansas. He was gone through most of the week and was back home on weekends. And my older sister, she had moved out at the time, or she had moved on to go to college, and my older brother had too, so it was just me and my younger brother and sister. And so we, my dad's company moved us to Hayes. It was my first day of school at Hayes High was November 1st of 1987, and it was a huge school. I was used to a very small school. It was probably 20, 25 people in my class, and we knew everybody. And this school, it was huge. And when you're a senior, you have all of your friends. All of your friends have friends. And so you're kind of the outcast. And so I was like, okay. And before we moved, I even asked Mom and Dad, I said, "Can I stay here? Can I graduate with my friends?" And they said, "No, you're coming with us." I'm like, and I did. I had the only friend that I remember at Hayes High, her name was Amy. And she was a missionary's daughter. And I wasn't exactly sure what that was. We just kind of clicked somehow. There was a point in time where I hated school. Absolutely hated it. Wanted to get through it. And this is before I had met Scott, which was that next spring. I wrote this, and it's about 20 years old, but I found it in one of my boxes, and I just couldn't believe that I had actually written this letter. And it wasn't to anybody, it was just expressing my feelings about the life that I was trying to live. It says, "The blades are sharp, my wheels are turning. Why do parents harp? My head is burning. I wish I could be free to do as I please. Why does it have to be me? They don't have to tease. I don't care anymore. Why should I? Maybe this will even the score. Goodbye. I'm leaving you. No one can stop me. I don't know how. Just wait and see. When I'm away, they won't miss me. They won't even sway. To pay my fee? Hell, he don't care. But I might. It's just not fair. With me out of sight." And I found that, I'm like, wow, I couldn't believe that I had actually written that. And I would have missed everything that life had to offer now. April of 1988 is when I met Scott. We both worked at Sonic, and the shift was over, one shift was over. And I was in the, combing my hair or something, and he came back. He said, "I'm not trying to flirt with you, but I don't have any friends around here. I'm new in town, and I just want to go out and have some fun." And I'm like, "Okay, dude." And so and so our first date was just crazy. We went with my friend Amy and one of his friends, who was another Scott. And I believe we went out to eat, went to a movie, then we went to his house to play quarters. And my friend, as we were playing quarters, the alcohol got the best of her, and she wanted to slice her wrist with a butter knife. And, of course, it didn't happen, but that's kind of how the night ended. And just Scott, till this day, can't believe that we actually had another date. But we did. August of 1991, we were married. We had to wait 3 years after we waited 3 years to get married because Scott had been married before. In the Catholic faith, you had to get annulment so the faith would recognize your marriage. And so we had to wait before we actually married, which I think was a good thing, that we had time to learn and to grow. When I did get married, my mom and dad said, "You're not going to finish. You're going to get married and do your own thing." Well, I proved them wrong. I did graduate in 1995 with a business communications degree. And they also said that you need to marry someone who has a college degree and who can afford you, because I have my insulin and my syringes and all this stuff. And good old mother, she was always concerned about me. I know, like all mothers would. But Scott is awesome, and my parents think so too now. We tried to have kids for about 5 years on our own, and with no luck. So went to the doctor and took fertility drugs. And first or second month, I got pregnant. And we were all ecstatic. We had the nursery ready. It was in Winnie the Pooh. And went to the doctor, April of 97, and sat in the chair. And they always did a stress test. Because I'm diabetic, they wanted to make sure the baby was still moving, etc. So I sat there in that chair, and the nurse came over, and she couldn't find the heartbeat. And my pulse was already beating through my chest, so she was actually hearing my heartbeat, not the baby's, when she did pick up something. And she said, "Don't worry about it. Let's wait till the sonogram room is empty, and then we'll go see what's going on." And I'm like, okay. And so we did that, laying on the table, and it was, the baby had passed. We named him Derek, and we had a service for him, and it was like, someone had just ripped everything you have out. I kept thinking, you know, why me? There are so many young mothers here who can have kids and I can't. I just, what did I do? It's just not fair. Then I thought, you know, it's got to be my fault, you know, something I did. And of course it wasn't. And I kept hearing everyone who'd come to the house, you know, God can't give you what you can't handle. And I was so, so sick and tired of hearing that. And so got back on the bandwagon, and I said, you know, let's try again. The cord was wrapped around his head or his neck, and I thought, you know, that's the reason. Let's try again. And so we did. In October of 98, it was like deja vu, as it happened all again. We had another boy, and he had also passed. It was the same nurse, it was the same doctor, it was the same circumstances. And once again, you know, why me? You know, God, what did I do? My sisters had babies and they were fine. I was listening to the radio here last week and thinking about my testimony, and there was a lady who'd come on, and she was contemplating suicide and things like that. And the verse was Jeremiah 29:11, and sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, Camilla? It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And that is my life right there. But the story does have a good ending. We got pregnant with Madison after they made us wait for about a year and a half for my body to get back to where it should be. And we had blood tests and stuff run, and we did have an autopsy on the child because my mom demanded that, and found out that I have a clotting disorder. I clot really fast, and so that's why we lost the babies, is there was blood clots in the cord. And so I'm like, you know, it wasn't me. And I just had to take blood thinners through my pregnancy with Madison. And about week 20 with Madison, we went to the doctor, and our doctor here thought there was something wrong with the heart, wasn't exactly sure. And at that time, 3D sonograms weren't very popular around here. They weren't here yet. And so they said, you can either go to Kansas City or Denver. And I'm like, well, Scott has a sister in Kansas City, so we'll go there. And so we went there for testing. And at that time, we had, once they did the sonogram and went back to this room, and we had a doctor there for every single part of your body. And it was like a room full of doctors, and just me and Scott were there. And they found 4 holes in her heart. They found extra toes. They found 6 on each foot. Then there were some spinal issues. And they said, well, at this point, we could do a late-term abortion. And I said, over my dead body, will we have an abortion? And it was funny that during this whole time, you know, we prayed. We had people praying for us. We want our child to have a good heart and a good mind. And that's exactly what we got. And when we came back home from our appointment, telling everybody that, you know, our child could have 6 toes on each foot. And they said, Marilyn Monroe had 6 toes, and look where she's at. I'm like, okay. And so we can deal with the toes issue, and, you know, there's all kinds of things they can do with your heart. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. We weren't going to Hayes Christian Church at the time, but I knew through Bub and Billy that Hayes Christian Church was praying for me and for us, and I had no clue what that meant. These people in this church are old, oh, you know, and I'm like, I didn't want to go. I mean, I didn't know what they were doing. And I'm like, why are they praying for us? This is so bizarre, because when I prayed, it was the Hail Mary, it was the Our Father, it was the Act of Contrition. That's what I prayed, and that's what I knew. Like, even when we were young, we held hands, we did the same prayer at meals. It was just, that's what we did. And to make a long story short, I did have Madison. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks before she was born. She came out, she actually had 9 toes on one foot and 7 on the other. So she had a lot of little toes. She had scoliosis. She did have holes in her heart. She has hemivertebrae, which there's part of a rib, and she's actually missing the 2 parts of a rib around her heart. But she was alive and kicking. She was at Children's Mercy for 2 weeks after she was born, so on the ventilator. We took her home. She was born June 27th of 01. We took her home in July. We had all kinds of services at the house. We were kind of going through the motions, enjoying Madison. There was one day when we went to the doctor, and they were talking about surgery and, you know, should we have her legs amputated? Should we, you know, just have her go on her own, have her make her own decision? And she loved Dora, and there was a Dora toy box in the front room, and she couldn't, she kind of did an army crawl at the time, and she put her arms up on that Dora toy box, which was about that tall, and she tried to swing her legs up in the toy box. She couldn't do it. And I'm like, oh my God, she just told me what we wanted to do, what we should do. And so from that time, called the doctors, and we had her surgery scheduled in 2 weeks. And so we had her surgery, had her legs amputated. And the hardest point for me is when we had to give her over to that nurse to take her into surgery because she was about 1.5, and she had no clue, you know, what was headed her direction. We thought we did, but it was a very, very hard decision for us. And I think if we would have relied on God more and not our gut, I'm not saying it could be easier, but I think it would have made us stronger. As far as our church experience, we went occasionally. We would bounce her back and forth. Scott would go to Celebration. I would go to Immaculate Heart of Mary. But if he didn't go, I didn't go. So we weren't having that consistency with her. And we knew that we wanted her to have that good background in the church. And so we decided to go to Hayes Christian Church. And I honestly decided to come here because we knew Bub and Billy. And I didn't want to go somewhere where I didn't know anybody. And this church was so different from our Catholic church. And I was also comforted by knowing that there's other Catholics here who were in the same shoes that I was. And this very quickly became our home. Because after that, we both started volunteering, teaching. And it took us a while to go to Sunday school, but we made that decision and we stuck with it for our sake and for Madison's. And it taught me really how to open the Bible and actually how to use it and interpret it to help us grow. After that, I began to preside and pray to God from my heart, not from a memorized prayer. Actually, doing what I'm doing now would have been terrifying, and I would never, ever have been up here. And I chose Ephesians 6:18. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." There was one more thing that happened to our family. It was August 2nd of 06. My older sister, she had two kids. Catherine was 16, Brian was 9. And on their way back from visiting us, an APAC truck hit them head on, and her kids were killed. And that night, she always called me when she got home safely. But we were so exhausted from that couple of days that I didn't think about it until 2:30 in the morning when I got that phone call. And you know, if I hadn't been here and hadn't learned what I'm learning from God and from the Bible, that I could not have stayed strong for my sister. And, you know, it's still hard for her, it's still hard for me, but one day we'll see those kids again. And one of the toughest decisions that I made last year was become baptized. I did it on my birthday because I knew that a lot of people were praying for this, but I had to decide this for myself. I finally did it, like I said, on my birthday, and it was awesome. It was a great feeling. And in closing, something happened at youth group when we brought the supper a couple weeks ago. They were playing a Bible trivia game. And Madison's little hand just kept going up. And she knew the answers. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you that she's learning something and that we're doing what we should be doing here.